What did you guys learn about Joseph? You don't see him in the scripture. I don't know if he did or not, but it's not in the scripture that he got mad, that he got angry. He never used his position to be bad. He was just a good young man. Lots of qualities, which I wish a lot of young men were like. Garland, if your sibling sold you in the slave market, and you knew it was them that sold you, and you hurt them, well, we're gonna tell Dad you died. And then years later, meet back up with them. How would you react to them? It'd be tough. And it was tough on Joseph, as we'll kind of read and as we get to the end. He had to step back, but it would be tough. I mean, we have even siblings, when you get together for Christmas or Thanksgiving, sometimes can rub each other the wrong way, you know? have those good old fights, you know? But yeah, it was... He was an exemplary human being, and I think that's the reason why God, not the only reason, but he saw that in Joseph. Joseph was just 17 years old whenever he was sold into slavery. Didn't that break your heart? He was the favorite son of his daddy, and the other boys knew it. I mean, he even made him, what did he make him? Coat of many colors. And when I was studying about this coat, apparently it was a robe that came down. And it was a robe, and back then, that type of clothing meant royalty. And so the boys knew that Joseph was different. That their daddy thought he was royal. That he probably didn't have to do a lot what the other boys had to do, and he may have been a very honest person, so when the boys were doing something bad, he'd go back and tell Dad, this is what they're doing out there. Did you guys have one of those in your family that liked to tell Mom and Dad what the other ones were doing, you know, and that causes friction and all, but the brothers hated him, and they hated him, and they couldn't even talk well against him. I'm sure he was the conversation at every time they went out to work with the sheep. And so whenever he come and told them about the dream he had, what was the dream that he had? And the story of Joseph takes up quite a bit of Genesis. It starts in chapter 37 and goes all the way to the end of the chapter. So it's a long story about what happens to Joseph. But he had a dream. And you remember what that dream was? There's two of them, really. He dreamed one time that the sheaves bowed down to him, right? And then the sheaves, there was sheaves out there, and the other sheaves bowed down to his sheaves, or, you know, wheat or whatever, and that really upset, and it even upset Jacob a little bit about, you know, he says, you know, you don't have to talk like that, but anyway, he went to tell the brothers something for their dad, and that's when they decided the plan, and I'm sure it wasn't just something that they had decided at that moment. I'm sure it had been planning in their minds, how can we get rid of this guy? If we get rid of him, then maybe Daddy will love us more. And so they took the opportunity. But it also tells in the story that Reuben did try to rescue him. Did try to help and not, at least not kill him. And then that's when they decided to put him into the caravan that came by and sold him. And he was taken to Egypt. And he was taken there, and and then so to Potiphar, which was a captain of Pharaoh's guard. So now he goes from a loving family, a loving daddy that I'm sure he was taken care of. Who knows what the trip was like for him to Egypt. He gets to Egypt and Potiphar buys him. And now he becomes part of Potiphar's household. And in Genesis 39, verses 1 through 20, we learn about how he, what he does in Potiphar's home. He will become a good administrator. That's something that he is very good about is organizing. He organized his household. He was a hardworking person. It also talks about how good looking he was and handsome and fair, and that was kind of his downfall, but that's nothing that he could have done differently. But God made him to prosper in that household. And then Potiphar's wife decides to take a fancy to him, and she wants to kind of entice him, and he runs from her. And that, to me, that's integrity. Not only to keep himself pure, but integrity. He could have took advantage of Potiphar. He could have taken Potiphar's wife, and when that happened, he could have taken Potiphar's things. But he did not. He entrusted his charge. And do you know why he did? It says that he feared God. He didn't do it because it would hurt God. He didn't do it because God, he knew that was the wrong thing to do. It says in verse 39:9, it says, "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withdrawn nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" What a great young man. And he probably was at that time still close to 18, maybe 19 years old. Still a very upstanding young man. And then because she will lie to get at him, Potiphar will then put him in prison. And he's in prison for a long time. I think he's in prison about 10, 12 years. Something like that. But once he gets in prison, what does he do? He organized the jail. And so the jailer puts him in charge of all the other people in jail. And so he has them doing their chores and doing things. And just so happens, it talks about how that the baker and the cupbearer get in trouble and get sent to the prison. And while they're in prison, Jacob is, of course, over them. And they have a dream. One of them has a good dream. One of them has a bad dream. But Joseph interprets that dream. And he tells, is it the baker? Baker's going to be okay. The cupbearer is going to get it. And so the dream was, he told the baker that everything is going to be okay for you. And the cupbearer, he says, sorry, guy, it's not going to come quite so good for you. But he asked the baker, he says, now when you get back up into Potiphar's household, please tell him, remind him about me, remember me. But he forgot. Two more years goes by. And what happens? Potiphar has a dream, doesn't he? And the baker goes, oh, I know somebody that can tell dreams and tell you what their dream is. He's in prison, though. So they bring out Joseph, and Joseph is able to tell them the dream. And the dream was about the 7 years famine that was going to happen in the whole world, in that whole area at that time. And so he will interpret that dream, and he suggests to the Pharaoh that he store up the grains for and keep storing them up so that the whole area could have food. And the governor, Pharaoh, liked that idea. And so Pharaoh will now make him the person just underneath him. He's over everything. So you see how Joseph's life has just been blessed by God, even though he's in not where he doesn't think he should be, but he was exactly where God wanted him to be. Because God knew Joseph was going to be able to save his people. And so he will work. Now he's about 30 years old. He takes a wife from the Egyptian priest, and takes a daughter from the Egyptian priest, and he will have two sons. He'll have Ephraim and Manasseh. I often wondered, it doesn't say a lot, if he taught them about God, because you remember Egypt has their many gods, and I'm sure as Joseph and how he believed in God, he taught his boys about the one true God. And so Egypt is doing very well. They've got all this grain saved up. They have all the things that planting that saves the lives of the Egyptians plus the people around them. And where Joseph's brothers and dad is, there is no food. And so Jacob will send the boys, all but Benjamin, to go to Egypt to buy food. And as soon as they get there, starting in chapter 42, I believe it is. I think it's 43. No, it's 42. The boys will come to Egypt to buy the food, and Jacob will see them. And this is in the next few verses, chapters, you're going to see Joseph cry 5 times. It doesn't mention him crying from the day he was sent off to prison or sent to, captured by the Egyptians and taken from his family. It doesn't record him crying then. It doesn't record him getting mad. It doesn't record him saying anything bad about his brothers through this whole time. But now his brothers show up and he cries. And we're going to see the 5 times he cries. The boys come, his brothers come, he sees them, he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And I'm sure he's all in the Egyptian garb. And remember, they were older than him. So a lot of times people don't change as they get at a certain age. They still kind of have that same look, but I'm sure he changed in look. Joseph talks to them and says, "What are you trying to do?" He kind of plays with them. "What are you here for? Are you spies?" He knew that they wasn't Egyptians. And so he kind of razzes them. No, we're not here. We're not spies. We're just hungry. Can we buy some food? A little bit of revenge. You see a little bit of revenge. But he knows, and it says in verse 23 of chapter 42, it says, "And they knew not that Joseph," they were talking amongst themselves about, they said, "We've got to get back for our dad." They talk a little bit about how that, because he asked him, "Do you have a daddy? Do you have a younger brother?" They didn't even catch that. And he says, they talk amongst themselves saying, "What are we going to do? Is he going to kill us?" And So he turns to the interpreter, and he's in talking to him, to them. But then in verse 24 it says, "And he turned himself away from them and wept, and returned to them." He had to go away, and he wept. And that weeping was a painful weeping, painful of everything that he had lost. He lost his family. He lost his brother, Benjamin. He lost his daddy. He lost everything that he had growing up in that family. Think about what you had, if you had been taken, and what you had lost. He was crying for that pain, and he was angry at them. He was playing with them. He was wanting some revenge. But he knew he had to give up that pain. My question is there something in your life that has caused you pain, regret, hurt? Something that was maybe even your childhood that happened, and you can't let it go. God wants you to give it to him, and it may take some crying to do it. So Jacob's going to have to forgive. He's going to have to forgive him, and you can see that as it goes. So he talks about the younger brother. He says, "Well, you go back, and I'm going to keep one of the brothers here." So Simeon stayed. He was put in prison and stayed. And he goes, "I want you to go back and bring your brother back. And when you bring your brother back, I'll give you Simeon." Well, the boys go, and as halfway out of the city, they look at the grain and their money, money in the grain. And they go, "Oh, great. Now we really can't go back because they're going to think we stole this stuff." So they go back to their daddy. They tell their dad what happened, and that Simeon's in prison, and his dad, of course, is fearful that he's going to lose another son. They eat up all the food, and Jacob says, "We need to go back for food." And they said, Reuben says, "No, wait a minute. If we go back, we have to take Benjamin." And so they say, "Okay." Reuben says, "I lose Benjamin, you can kill my boys." And Reuben says, "I will bring him back." Do you think there's some regret with the boys for what they have done to Joseph? I have a feeling they probably lived those years of regret, lying to their dad and what they did to their brother. Anyway, we'll go to 43, verse number 30, and we'll see the second time that Joseph will cry. And 43:30 says, "And Joseph made haste, and he bowed, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept." He had just seen Benjamin, and he wept. Have you ever had those belly cry weepings that you just cry, and there's no consoling you? You just cry and you cry and you cry. And he was crying again for his past. He was crying that he wanted that healing of the pain that was just of the first cry that came, and he was wanting that healing. And he asked God. He says, "I've got to have this healing." And he cried and wept to God. The third time he cries will be in chapter 45, verse number 2, when he reveals who he is to his brothers. And he will tell them, it says, "And Joseph could not restrain himself before them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.' He asked everybody to leave, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made him ready to see known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard." They heard him crying. "And Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? He was still worried that his father was not alive. And what he did, he said, come close. He says, and the boys were kind of like, oh my gosh, this is Joseph. He's going to kill us. And he says, come near me. Come closer to me. And Joseph, they came closer, and he says, I am the one that you sold into slavery. I am the brother whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve your life. He cried, but he was crying tears of healing. And sometimes we have to do that crying of healing. We have to let God have it, and God gave him the grace to forgive. How many of you have ever forgiven somebody that has done something terrible to you? What happened? Did the peace, did it just all go away and you just feel like, I can float. The weight is gone. And he cried to wash away that guilt and shame for his brothers. He wanted them to forget about what had happened to him. And so now Joseph wants them to bring Jacob. He goes, I want to see my dad. Go get my dad. Go get him and bring him to him. And so when they went and got Jacob, Jacob will cry. But he cries for his present. The present now, because he can see what's going to happen. He's going to have his family back. And whenever they went and told Jacob that Joseph was alive, don't you wish you would have been a little fly on the brick wall? Man, you know, my thoughts were, when I thought about that, I'm thinking about children that go off to war, you know, and the mamas don't know if their kids are going to come back. And then they come back, and they're alive. I can't even imagine what Jacob felt. But in Hebrew, and the fifth time he will cry, it will be in 46, verse 28 through 29. If I can find it here. And he set Judah before him and to Joseph to direct his face to Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot, and he went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck, and he wept. A good while, it says. He wept for a long time. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I've seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Joseph cried for the future. Now he has a future. Now he can take care of his family. His family came and moved, and they moved into the land of Goshen, and that's where they were protected, and they were able to eat and be fed. And Joseph was able to protect his family, even though it was meant to be bad. What was done to him was meant to be wrong, to wrong him. God turned it into something good, and Joseph was able to save his family. What a story. I mean, Joseph was an example that we all should want to be. And some things about Joseph in this story, his pain was his key to his greatness. So sometimes our pain is what makes us great. He ministered to those in his darkest hour. Even when he was in prison, he was ministering to others. He didn't focus on himself. He wanted to help others. That was his passion in life. And the third thing about Joseph is he didn't push his own agenda. He was there just to help, just to save, just to take care of his people and those Egyptians that were around him. So there's many people like that nowadays. You see people that you see those same qualities in them. And many times when you see those same qualities, it has come from some pain that they have had in their life. And they've been able to take that pain and not use it for bad, but used it to for good for others. Anyway, questions about Joseph. Well, next week we'll be doing Moses.